the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Friday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Friday. Yay. It's Friday. Well, hopefully everybody was okay in that, at least in East Baton Rouge, that torrential downpour and thunder and lightning. And Jeff and I were definitely sitting up straight in our desks yesterday. It was shaking the building. So hopefully everybody made it through. Nobody was in the traffic when that happened. Let's start. Today is the feast of St. Joseph Cafasso. So we'll start in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, strength of those who hope in you, graciously hear our pleas. And since without you mortal frailty can do nothing, grant us always the help of your grace, that in following your commands we may please you by our resolve and our deeds. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Joseph Cafasso, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have some events in our listening area we will tell you all about. That'll be in just 10 minutes. In 18 minutes, we'll talk to Carrie Davison with Holy Heroes, and we're going to discuss the book, I Believe, The Apostles' Creed in Sacred Art for Young Children. Another guest we'll talk to in 35 minutes, Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, is talking about Creole tomatoes, which is actually a perfect summer sandwich. My dad used to make them all the time with mayonnaise and white bread.
I
can just picture him right now peeling that potato, or not peeling, but cutting it, slicing it, you know, and making his sandwich. So after mowing the grass or something. So it's just a cool
cold
down. Yes. And then in 48 minutes, Vivian Dudrow joins us. She is the editor of Ignatius Press, and they have so many children's books coming out. She's going to give us details about that. So if you have that grandchild, or you just want to find that summer reading book that you can sit down with, we have some great ones for you today. So stick around. It's going to be a great conversation. Oh, looking forward to it. Right, Damian?
Oh, yeah. I guess a lot of people are looking forward to cooler temperatures already, but we're not going to get them anytime soon. A lot of us, or at least I know in the Baton Rouge area, received the two different rain showers that kind of blew through yesterday afternoon to cool things down. Other than that, though, we have a less than 10% chance of rain today, and it looks that way almost throughout the entire week coming up. For the weekend, we may see 100-degree temperatures, and Saturday and Sunday, little to no chance of rain, and the summertime heat is upon us, and for the next 7 days, you can pretty much expect what we're getting today, day in and day out. Across the area, right now, 83 degrees in New Orleans, Covington 76, Baton Rouge at 76, and Houma Thibodeau 77, and in Gulfport 80 degrees. Yeah, I'm just surprised. I know summer officially begins in a few days, but I don't know if I've seen 100 degree temperatures this early in the season. You know,
super hot. Hey, but no rain on Father's Day.
No rain. No, at least that's what we're saying.
Corpus Christi on Sunday.
Right. So
that's good. So no rain, but. I don't think we'll be outside barbecuing. It's going to be a little warm.
Hey, if you've got the conditions to where you can get a big fan or something,
you
could do it.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, but we'll see. Take care of Dad this weekend for sure. Yeah, so in the meantime, we're going to take care of you, so don't go away. It's 5 after the hour on a Friday morning on Wake Up.
Thank you. A good Friday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and decay destroy and thieves break in and steal. But store up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor decay destroys, nor thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. The lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is sound, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be in darkness. And if the light in you is darkness, how great will the darkness be?" We've heard the Gospel, and now we reflect.
In today's reading, Jesus continues to form us in a spiritual vision according to the mind of the Father. And therefore, Jesus commands us to store up treasure in heaven, not on earth. In describing the destructive action of moth and rust, Jesus used a Greek verb that literally means to disfigure or to render unrecognizable. In the impregnable bastion of heaven, where is the heart of the Father? There no one can break in and steal our treasure. Jesus urges us to use meticulous care in acquiring a lasting treasure, which is a life of love united with God. It is only love that lifts up the world and transforms it into this interior storeroom, which is the heart of God. And therefore, Jesus reminds us, where your treasure is, there also your heart will be. The names of these precious treasures are forgiveness, love, kindness, patience, adoration, and praise. The heart is the organ of loving, not the organ of feeling. The important lesson is this: the heart that moves among the worms must in the end be devoured by the worms. Woe! So who we love and how we love matters. Jesus continues his instruction by taking us from the heart to the eye. The whole axis around which our world revolves is the heart, which is the seat of human intentions and desires and actions. The eye is the lamp of the body because it directs the heart to either a goal on earth or one in heaven. So the heart is like an arrow that is powerful and effective, but at the same time, it is blind, for it only goes in the direction where it is aimed. And so it is our understanding and reason that directs the heart correctly, if it is illuminated by God. Love is important, but of itself, love is not enough. We must love in truth. Jesus brings us the truth in word and example, for he is the incarnate light. And therefore, we must pray, "Lord, teach me to open my eyes to your light, and heal my eyes of the innumerable diseases that affect them, so that I can see you clearly." Without God's grace, we remain in darkness, and therefore we pray that he will give us Jesus' heart and his light. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy, and Father Chris Decker, 11 after the hour. Good morning, everyone. Damian Colato, along with Gabby Smith and Alicia Quibido. Few things happening in and around the area. We wanted to let you guys know about. The Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux has appointed Mark Williams as the new superintendent of Catholic schools there. Williams previously served as associate superintendent of secondary schools in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. He was also had several positions at Archbishop Shaw High School in Marrero. Additionally, the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux has appointed Jerry Breen as the associate superintendent for curriculum and instruction. So some new leadership in the schools starting this coming school year for Houma-Thibodaux.
Well, good. Well, this is pretty exciting, too. Father Chris Decker, our director of mission and the pastor of St. Mary of False River, is going on pilgrimage. You are not going to want to miss this trip. It's a pilgrimage to Italy. It's 11 days. It's in April 11th through 21st of 2023. This is an awesome trip. So I've done this pilgrimage before, y'all. It starts in Florence, It goes to, I'm sorry, it starts in Venice, then to Florence and to Padua, to see Damien's bud, St. Anthony, and then goes to my favorite place, Assisi, where you'll see St. Clair and visit the Basilica of St. Francis of Assisi, and then end up in Rome for an audience with Pope Francis. Or at, once you go on this trip.
You may even have lunch with him. Who knows?
That's right. After you go on this trip, you will refer to him as Papa Francesco. Just saying. But so anyway, you want to check it out at ccradio.live. All of the information is there. You can also call our office and we'll tell you about it. It is a fabulous trip. You will not be disappointed. So check that out again at ccradio.live, Pilgrimage to Italy with Father Chris Decker.
Yeah, that button is at the top of the homepage. So ccradio.live, you can't miss it. It's a button that says Italy Pilgrimage at the very top of our homepage. So you can click on that and get details. The churches of St. Anne in Napoleonville, Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Plattenville, and St. Philomena Church in Labadyville, those are the Bayou parishes. They will be hosting a summer Bible camp for youth in 5th through 8th grade starting Monday, June 20th through Friday, June 24th, so that's next week, from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. The theme is Presence, and the camp will take place at the St. Labadyville Community Center. Everyone is invited. To register and to find out more information, you can visit BayoulandChurches.com. That's such an easy website to say, BayouLandChurches.com.
There's a retreat for married couples coming up August 18th through the 21st. Total retreat cost is $500 per person. It's in the Home of Thibodeau area. And so, but you could come from anywhere.
That's right. It's $500 per couple, right?
I'm sorry. I said person.
Yeah. That's okay. Just to.
yeah. You could bring another couple with you if you pay $500 a person. So $500 a couple. But the retreat costs with parish sponsorship. So maybe you can get your parish to help support you in the process. It's $375. Per couple. The location is at Lumen Christi Retreat Center, and that's in Shriver, Louisiana. And to register, go to domesticchurchfamilies.com. The reason I'm sharing with something taking place in August is if you don't register in advance, you're not going to be able to go if you wait too late. So there you go. Retreat for married couples. Go to domesticchurchfamilies.com. It's a good thing to go to. All right, well, stick around here on Wake Up. We're coming back. It's currently 15 after the hour on a Friday morning.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 17th. Today we celebrate Saint Joseph Cafasso. Joseph Cafasso was a small man with a deformed spine. He lived in 19th century Italy, a time when people with physical disabilities were looked down upon. But God blessed Joseph with a powerful voice and such preaching and teaching skills that he touched and impressed all who heard him. Following his ordination to the priesthood, Joseph was assigned to a seminary in Turin, Italy. There he worked especially against the spirit of Jansenism, an excessive preoccupation with sin and damnation. Joseph urged that the rigid practices popular in the seminary be moderated, but he also cautioned the young men that the biggest enemy of the priesthood was worldliness. Joseph became noted for his work outside the seminary as well. Devotion to the Eucharist gave energy to all his other activities. He was a popular confessor and spiritual director, working especially with condemned prisoners, many of whom he helped be at peace with God at the time of their deaths. Joseph Cafasso died in 1860 and was canonized in 1947. He is regarded as the patron saint of prisoners and prisons. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Good Friday morning to you, June 17th. Welcome back to Wake Up. And right now, Kerry Davison, who is with Holy Heroes, talks to us today about a book for children entitled, I Believe, the Apostles' Creed in Sacred Art for Young Children. Good morning, Kerry.
Good morning.
So glad to have you on Wake Up. You spell your first name just like my daughter does.
Aw.
So,
very nice.
Various ways to spell Carrie.
Carrie, that's right.
But we got something in common. Well, tell us a little bit about this book. Now, there's been a number of books for children regarding the Apostles' Creed and understanding it, but yours is a little different and a little more unique, isn't it?
Yes. We're using Sacred Art so that every phrase in the Creed has a picture associated with it by some of the greatest artists that ever painted. And the idea here is to really capture your child's imagination at a very young age. And, because at this age, you're really forming their taste and their ideas. And so you're reading the Creed, you're contemplating these magnificent pictures, and there's also a little explanation of what each little phrase of the Creed means in a simple way that you could either explain to your child or explain to yourself, just sit and contemplate what that means. And so your child's learning the Creed, but they're also learning about art, and they're also seeing these pictures, and they're associating beauty, all that's good and true and beautiful, with the faith. And this is a book for very young children, like 3 to 7 or so. And because these years, these are precious years, the church teaches us that the parents are the first teachers of the child. And so much of what is in families, home, in the home for children is secular. We have tons of children's books out there, and everyone is reading to their little children, which is wonderful. But so much of it is just secular. And these, 3 to 8-year-old, that's a precious time when a parent can really capture a child's heart and their imagination for Christ. And so it's as simple as, reading the Creed, so your child will read it with you, memorize it, and then when they hear it, will actually understand what that means. And then in their mind and in their imagination have great beauty associated with that.
I love the fact that you are tying in sacred art with the words, and because if you can create a visual image, almost like you never forget, right?
Yes.
Yes, especially when, if you think about even your own childhood, the things you remember, kids remember ridiculous cartoons from when they're their tiniest age, and they remember, and it's really imprinted on them at such a young age, ditties from what they heard and everything. And could you imagine, children who remember, a magnificent picture of the Annunciation, those are their first childhood memories, and the meaning of that is, their first, that had the primary memory of when they were three.
So how did you go about selecting the artwork to go with each phrase or line of the Creed?
Well, it has to have some kind of visual association. So the Annunciation is obviously is it actually a picture of the Annunciation? That's the one of the easier ones because. There's many of them out there. And then there has to be it has to be visually kind of for a child.
Right, exactly.
It has to be something that is not, when you have suffered under Pontius Pilate, it has to be suffering, but not, it has to be appropriate for a 3-year-old, okay?
Right.
And also you have to be careful about nudity, for example. Things you have to be sensitive. We were sensitive about the age and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Jesus is on the crucifix and he's, almost wearing nothing. Kids see that.
Once they start going to church. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, that's a normal, but there's other things that's just not necessary.
Yeah.
So we just tried to do things that were beautiful and appropriate, but great art as well.
Okay.
And also something that children could actually look at and say, oh, look at that. Look at that little angel in the corner. And look at that picture of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And just little details that children love to look at and notice. And, look, the descent of the Holy Spirit. Mary is there. And look, there's someone in the corner. And things that adults really, we don't pay as much attention, frankly, because we've seen a lot of things. And I also think when you think about great art, even taking small children to a museum, first of all, how often do you go to a museum? Mm-hmm. And then when you get there, how little of the museum is actually sacred art? And then also, how much time can you actually spend with a small child in a public place, probably with your other children? So that's why this is a great thing. It's all in one book. It's all put together. And it's easy to look and contemplate. And honestly, most children's books don't have these type of pictures.
Yeah. And besides the pictures, I believe you mentioned that at the bottom of each page, there's a short or small explanation of what it means. Are you describing the phrase, the art, or a combination of both when you get to each line?
We're actually describing the meaning of the phrase. So
okay.
The communion of saints. I mean, there are lots of people walking around who don't know what that means.
Yeah.
And resurrection of the body. And you think you might know what that means, but also your child has no idea. And this is your chance to discuss it and tell them. And maybe you learn too, because I know lots of parents, myself included, when we started having children and my husband's a convert and I'm a revert, we had to learn right alongside of them. And as we educated them, we educated ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And I think there are a lot of us out there who did that and who are now doing it.
Yes.
Got it. So where can they get the book? Is it out yet?
Yes. It's at you can get it at Holy Heroes at holyheroes.com. So holyheroes.com, and just get it off the website, because that's our website.
Okay. And all right, now let's take a step back. Tell us about Holy Heroes. What exactly is your mission, mm-hmm. and who are you guys?
Okay, we're a family business where we try and bring the joy of the faith to families. And a lot of our we have lots of free online adventures. We have Lenten Adventure and Advent Adventure, and you can sign up for free on those. And the whole idea of those is they're free. They come to you. They teach you and your kids about, the liturgical. So during Advent, it's Advent. During Lent, it's Lent. We do Glory Stories, which are our audio saint stories. And we also publish books for children Our whole idea is that we're trying to capture the imagination of your children through books, through media, through audio. A lot of our things are audio, because we believe in really the imagination comes through very much in your mind when you hear things, mm-hmm. or when you look at something. But video is a little less imaginative. So you really, to capture a heart of a child is really through in their own imagination.
Yeah.
And so that's what we do. And so we've been doing this for about 15 years now. Well, actually longer than that, but 15 years has been the full time, all the time. Wow. We've been doing it.
Were you associated in media prior to starting Holy Heroes?
Yes. Yes and no. We have been making these audio glory stories for longer than 15 years. But really, this all came out of like Advent Adventure, Lenten Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
It all came out of trying to teach our own children. And so as we were teaching our own children, we started doing all these things because there's a lot of stuff out there to teach, but really, you know, the church says the parents are the first and primary teachers of the children. So catechism doesn't happen and shouldn't start in catechism class. Catechism happens in your life, in your family, from the very beginning. And a lot of us weren't formed to do that. And even those who were formed kind of need help, like, because you get so busy, you don't have time to do all this stuff. Like, suddenly you're thrust into parenthood and all this stuff comes along, and now you're trying to live the faith as well. So this is all just helpful things that you can do with your kids to help raise them up in the faith.
Very nice. Right. And what a great endeavor and what inspiration to others.
And you can sign up, by the way, for all those free adventures. They're called Holy Heroes Adventures, Lenten Adventure, Advent Adventure. We have a spiritual adoption adventure as well, And those are all free, and you can sign up for those on our website as well.
Awesome. And again, that's holyheroes.com, you said?
Yes.
All right. Very good. Well, Carrie Davison, thank you so much for being with us this morning here on Wake Up.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, good luck. Yeah, and good luck in your endeavors. We appreciate having you, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right.
The website is
great. It's a perfect book to take to Mass.
I hate to say it, but until today, I didn't know who they were.
Well, you know, I am going to disagree with Carrie on one thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just for 3 to 7 year olds. It's a beautiful book.
Yeah.
Like, I think anybody, I might get a copy. Yeah. For me. It's beautiful. The art in it is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and so keep that in mind. Go look for it or order it today online, holyheroes.com. All right, folks, 30 after the hour, we're coming back with more on a Friday morning here on Wake Up, including the one and only Jeff Young.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Abortion activists on Capitol Hill are entertaining hope that a law addressing doctor shortages may allow for a Biden executive order to federalize abortion in states that reject the practice. The last South Dakota Planned Parenthood may be fueling that rhetoric of doctor shortages. They have stopped taking abortion appointments over fears of state trigger laws that could ban abortion practice after the pending Supreme Court ruling in Dobbs v. Jackson. A coalition of 25 pro-life Catholic groups are seeking strong action from Merrick Garland's Justice Department against open threats and a wave of crime against pro-life persons and facilities. The administration offers generic condemnation of violence, but critics say federal inaction fosters more violence. Reporters asked Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi about the violence. She responded by suggesting that these criminal actions are merely one of many American efforts to politicize abortion. This is Life News Radio. A culture of life is like a bright city on a hill. Just as people in 1890 might have had difficulty imagining today's cities, so it may be in imagining a culture of life. But it starts with more than imagination. It starts with the moral commitment to offer the highest regard to God's gift in each human life. Let's become the culture of life. A Florida county wants to be a sanctuary for the unborn with a moratorium on licensing abortion clinics. Meanwhile, a California county says it wants to support women. San Mateo County is offering nothing to support pregnancy, but is offering $1 million in eugenic abortion funding to Planned Parenthood. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Good morning. It's 35 minutes after the hour on this Friday morning. You're listening to Wake Up. Thanks for joining us. I'm Alicia Quibbenell with Damian Collado and Gabby Smith. It's Friday. Y'all know what that means.
Yeah, Jeff Young.
Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, joins us. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
We are good. We are good. Okay. So last time we chatted, we talked about my garden overflowing with basil, and there are other wonderful things happening in people's gardens. Particularly, it's Creole tomato time.
Oh, it sure is. Oh my goodness. You know, I just don't even know where to start. I mean, it's they're so good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. They are.
And you know the funny thing about it, I remember growing up, I always thought that Creole tomatoes were like a variety of tomato, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not. You know, I remember I learned this as an adult, and I was shocked. It's just like a homegrown tomato. It's just where it's planted.
See,
right? It's the soil that creates that unique flavor. It's kind of like Vidalia onions. You know, they're just regular yellow onions, but it's the soil in Vidalia, Georgia, that gives it that unique sweetness, right?
Okay.
So I find that fascinating. You can get a lot of good stuff from dirt, I guess.
I guess so. Well, you know what's funny? I learned that when I was way into adulthood. I think like last year when you and I talked about Creole tomatoes, I thought they were a certain variety as well. Mm-hmm. So that was a newsflash for me that it's just where they're grown that makes them Creole. So it's a great time. I saw them in the grocery store. They were in High Neighbor, big display the other day. So especially those local grocery stores, right? The local grocery stores will have piles and piles of Creole tomatoes. So what I have been obsessed with looking at your website, catholicfoodie.com. You have so many great tomato recipes or things you can do with tomatoes. Did you have one in mind today?
Well, I was thinking I could share a few of them with you because some of them are so simple, right?
Yes.
I've got one. My favorite isn't even on the website.
Oh, okay.
And you know why? Because it's so simple to make. I mean, why even put it up there, you know?
Okay. Food for thought, and right?
Here's the easy. Here it is. It's so simple, right? You just need some white bread.
I knew you were going there.
Mayonnaise, a little salt and pepper, and then slice a Creole tomato and just slap it in between those two pieces of bread. And it's just, oh, golly. You know?
Other than us, Jeff, do people up north? Because you've been up there. Does that make sense to them? Would they eat a tomato sandwich like we do here in the South?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I think they just put lettuce and bacon on that, make it a BLT.
I mean, but to just have a tomato,
yes.
I'm wondering what are they thinking when they hear this.
Okay, so being from Lafayette, I know what kind of white bread I would put it on, but what white bread do we put it on here in Baton Rouge or in New Orleans? What's your go-to for that good old white bread? It's Evangeline made in Lafayette.
I'm thinking Bunny.
Bunny, okay.
Oh. Yeah, probably. I remember,
years ago, it was Sunbeam for me, but I mean.
Right, Sunbeam.
Yeah.
I remember that. Wholesome. Remember Wholesome?
Wholesome.
And what's the other one? That's real. Wonder Bread.
They still sell that.
They still sell Wonder Bread. Yep.
But
okay.
We get bread from a local bakery here in Covington. And it's Challah is what I used yesterday and what is on the menu for my lunch today.
Nice. My son makes a nice salad. Okay. All right. That sounds great. Okay. Well, I want to talk about this Creole tomato jam recipe you have on your website.
Oh, my goodness. Well, see, it's a beautiful recipe, but I want to tell everybody first before we get into that, because that involves a little preparation.
Okay.
I mean, the thing is that when you have something that's like, something that's so good naturally, right? Like a Creole tomato, the best way to eat it is just plain.
Right. Well, that's
right
true.
By itself to enjoy it. And it's like, you know, I think we've mentioned this because you talked about basil. Last time we talked about basil. And we talked about a caprese salad, right?
Yes.
And so it's just so simple. It's the tomato, the fresh basil, a little salt and pepper, and you drizzle it with olive oil. You know, and that's, you don't cook anything. It's just simple to put together. I like to take those when I make them and stick them in the fridge and let those tomatoes chill a bit because it's summertime, right?
Right.
So you pull that out, let it chill. You pull it out, you got a cold plate, you got cold tomatoes. It's just so nice and fresh and refreshing. Mm. And you take, sometimes, you know, if your tomato, like if it's not Creole tomato season and you're getting just a store-bought tomato with not a whole lot of flavor, I'll add a little balsamic to it.
Oh, yeah.
Because you need to give something a little help, you know? But we have even done a variation of that you would consider, I guess, Middle Eastern or Lebanese, where we do the tomato just like you would for a caprese, but instead of the mozzarella, and the basil will do fresh mint and crumbled feta.
Okay.
Right? So you can just do a little variation on a theme. And then I wanted to tell you my favorite salad, which is, you know, summertime. I can only do it this time of the year because you're getting fresh Creoles and you're getting fresh Vidalia onions.
Ooh, yep.
Is to do, and you can get homegrown cucumbers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
You got it.
And you just take a bowl. And you're going to chop the tomato, the onion, and the cucumber together.
Yeah.
Salt and pepper. Add a little oil and, if you like, you know, red wine vinegar, whatever it is. And I chill that and let that marinate. Oh, man. You talk about a good salad. It's so simple to do. And it's just And it's delicious, and it's healthy. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, and that's something you can just keep in your refrigerator, right? And then just have a little snack every now and again of that. That's yummy. Oh, yeah. The longer it sits there, right?
Let it marinate a little bit.
If you can restrain yourself, yes.
If you can restrain yourself.
If you can restrain yourself. I mean, I'm not one to let it sit too long, but if you can,
I'm with you, Jeff. Yeah, I'll throw in artichoke hearts with that.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
I love a good cucumber salad for the summer, you guys.
Yes.
I know you guys never heard me say that, but I love a good... The one thing that I can't get past, like I said, my dad has always made tomato sandwiches when we were younger. I hate white bread. Like, I just can't get past the white bread thing. And I know that you can't do it without white bread. I just don't like white bread.
Okay.
So what do you use?
But, I just don't make it.
You can do it with whole wheat.
I just, I don't mind making a ham sandwich or something to cool me down like that. And I love sandwiches in the summertime, especially like at the pool or the beach. But I can't get past the white bread, you guys. It just grosses me out. Can't do it. So,
use different bread.
There you go.
I do like whole grain or wheat or multigrain, all of that. Everyone says, "Oh, that's not fun bread, the candy bread." I love that kind of bread.
Some Dave's Killer Bread. That's good stuff.
Dave's Killer Bread is good. Deceiving but healthy. Yes.
So, Jeff, can you talk a little bit? I don't want to stump you, but can you talk a little bit about the Israeli chopped salad that you have on your website? Is that something that would be good with Creole tomatoes?
Absolutely. I mean, anything I think that you have. Where you talk about fresh ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, and I've said this before, I have a couple of things that I like to say a lot. And it's just because it's so true. And most people don't say this stuff, right? Like, there's no recipe police is one of them.
Right.
So you can use your brown bread if you want to, or whatever kind of bread. It doesn't have to be white. And the other one is that, now I'm going to lose my train of thought. What were we talking about?
That's okay. I was talking about the Israeli chopped salad.
Oh, ingredients. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, if you're talking about, especially something simple and fresh, ingredients matter. It's so important. And so you want to have the best that you can get, or the freshest you can get, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And so something like the Israeli salad, Israeli chopped salad, or tabbouleh for, the Lebanese tabbouleh, or the crazy salad, whatever. Don't just grab any kind of tomato. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's like the kind of tomato is so important. So you're going to find that, too, with the Israeli chopped salad.
Okay.
Your recipes certainly make a difference.
Okay. Well, remember, now's the time. Let's go out there and get those tomatoes. You can visit CatholicFoodie.com to find more recipes. We don't have time to get into it, but you have a garlic shrimp with tomatoes, peppers, and feta. And I know we've talked about that before. That is right up my alley.
That might be what's for
dinner at the Quibidos tonight. But I'll stop and get some Creole tomatoes for that. Jeff Young, let our listeners know where they can find out more about you and more recipes.
CatholicFoodie.com is the hub. You can find the recipes there, but you can also find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those distracting places.
Super. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great weekend, Jeff. Hey,
you
stick around. Vivian Doudreau joins us from Ignatius Press. It's 15 minutes before the hour on Wake Up.
It is 48 past the hour. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quipido and Damian Collado. Our next guest is Vivian Doudreau. She is the editor of Ignatius Press. And today we're going to be talking about various new children's books you can find at the Ignatius Press website, ignatius.com. Thank you so much, Vivian, for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
So let's get started, because you have various books that we're going to be discussing today. But the first one, I think is appropriate, The Illustrated Bible for Children. And when I saw this, it brought me back to when I was a child. My dad got me the Beginner's Bible. It was like this old 90s Bible for kids, and it was illustrated and had big text, beautiful pictures. And I think I read that thing front and back probably 10 million times. Now my son has it, and it's just, I think it's so good for kids to have an illustrated Bible to get them familiarized with the stories in the Bible. So tell us about this one.
Yes, I agree. This one is done in a comic style or graphic novel style.
but it's hardcover, and the paper is glossy, and it's four color, and this is by Jean-François Kiefer. He's a French deacon, a married man with four children, an award-winning illustrator, and he makes books in this sort of comic book style. But even though that's the style he chooses, these illustrations are they're not I don't know, cheap and goofy looking. They're actually very lovely and captivating, and all the main stories of the Bible are here, Old Testament and New Testament, and this is a really engaging way for young readers to get into the Bible.
Absolutely. That's so cool. That's in a comic style version. I really do like that. I think that'll be very attractive to many young children and get them familiarized. And when they hear these stories in church, or when, you know, they go through their religion classes or catechesis classes, they'll be familiar with those as well. So let's talk about the next one, The Little Friar That Flew. This one is so cute.
Yes, this is the story of St. Joseph of Cupertino. There was a black and white film about his life, you know, drama style, you know, Hollywood Bible epic sort of movie about this saint. So some people may be familiar with him because of that. This is a charming story of his life by Patricia Lee Gouch, and it's illustrated by Tommy De Paola, who wrote and illustrated dozens of books, and is a beloved storyteller and illustrator. And his classic, charming, whimsical style is on display here, telling the story of this very unique saint who was capable of flying, as the legends say. I think that there must have been some kind of levitating mystical experience going on. And this story is told focusing on whatever was going on with Joseph of Cupertino. What was the cause of that? Well, it was his joy. It was his love of God that filled him with joy, and that joy was just bursting out of him.
I love it. I actually never heard of St. Joseph of Cupertino until I was in college. There was a prayer card put into an exam, kind of like care goodie bag, that Christ the King and LSU put together, and we would pray to St. Joseph of Cupertino to help us during our finals or our term papers or whatever we were turning in at the end of the semester. So I am so excited. This is actually in a children's book, so we can learn about him earlier in life. So really cool. Okay, let's talk about the next one, Vivian. It's called The Little Way, A Journey to the Summit of Love. Tell us about this one.
This book is about the spirituality of St. Thérèse of Lisieux and her little way. And it's told in a very unique way, in that there's a boy who basically represents all Christians on the journey of life. And he, on his way up the mountain toward the cross of love, he meets Thérèse, who becomes his guide. And then each chapter ends up being about some teaching of St. Thérèse. And really, this is a profound book that adults will also love, but it's for children, and it's written in a very simple style, fully illustrated with four-color illustrations. There are quotes from the Bible. There are quotes from Thérèse, and it really does show children that through their journey in life, God is with them, and the main thing is love, doing small things with great love. That was Thérèse's little way.
I love it. And St. Thérèse of Lisieux is one of my favorite saints. This is perfect for young children to learn more about this wonderful saint. Tell us about the next one. It's called Troubled Waters.
This is part of a series of novels for readers ages 10 and up. We've produced four now, and there are a couple more yet to come. They're set in Rome during the persecution of Christians under the Emperor Diocletian. And the stories revolve around these three boys who are friends, who get into all of these adventures, sort of like Hardy Boys. They're they come across puzzling things and end up sort of sleuthing on their own to figure out what's going on, solving crimes or just solving mysterious happenings that they don't understand. And along the way, they meet Christians who present a very powerful witness of courage and sacrificial love, which these boys find intriguing. And each story is completely separate from the others. You can read them, you know, in any order. But if you want to read them in order, the first one's called The Phantom of the Colosseum. And then there's Alliance for the Emperor, The Mysterious Goblet. This one that we just came out with is called Troubled Waters. Anyway, they're all very, they're really page turners. I really have loved working on these books because the stories are very exciting and engaging. And kids in that age range, 10 and up, are going to love these. I know there's a big demand for more fiction for young people that parents can trust is going to be wholesome and faith enriching and also exciting and interesting for children to read.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we have about a minute left. Tell us quickly, you have one last one called God is Calling, Seeing His Signs in Your Life.
This is the real life vocation story of Brother Francois Fontaine, a Frenchman who ended up joining the Franciscans of the Renewal in Brooklyn, New York. And even it's autobiographical in the sense that these are things about his own life, but really it's a little book for young readers, 7 and up, about all the ways God speaks to us in our lives, calling us toward him in whatever your vocation might be. It's really great. The signs that are discussed here are the saints and the Bible and creation and prayer.
Yeah.
And any child reading this is going, I think, to be led deeper in his relationship with God.
Great. Vivian Dudra with Ignatius Press, where can we go to pick up these copies?
You can go to ignatius.com. We still have an 800 number, 800-651-1531. We also have, Catholic bookstores around the country sell our books, and if they don't have what you're looking for, they can certainly get it for you. So lots of ways to find Ignatius Press books.
Great. Thank you so much, Vivian. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Well, thank you, Vivian. And we're going to wrap up. It's been a great week. And here we go with a prayer for protection during hurricane season. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father in heaven, through the intercession of Our Lady of Prompt Succor, spare us during the hurricane season from all harm. Protect us and our homes from all disasters of nature. Our Lady of Prompt Succor, hasten to help us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son,
Holy
Spirit, amen.
And have a great weekend.
Happy Father's Day.
God bless. Yes, happy Father's Day.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.